And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today, yes, today, could be a change in your life. I have been restudying the Bible again, the New Testament, in fact, the Gospels, and the letters of Paul, in preparation for today's message. It's a message that is life-giving, life-changing, and is more important than any that I have ever given or could ever give. And that's quite a build-up, isn't it? Now, that's because it's not because I had some brainchild and said, let me come up with some great discovery, some great expose. Although I suppose to many people it will be a discovery, and they will have the truth exposed to them, and maybe to you as well. Maybe you'll discover something, even if you're fully versant on this subject, or conversant on this subject. Now, as I studied the Bible, I must tell you that a number of times in researching this topic for today, I got so overcome with enthusiasm and excitement, I literally could not breathe. I had to stop. I had to stop for a few moments and catch my breath. The word breathtaking is very appropriate here. Now, when I give you the title of today's talk, you say, well, I already know that subject. Well, do you really? Are you sure? Because I know of millions, billions of people that don't know it. And there are hundreds of millions that think they do, but they do not. Now, let me just give you the title of the subject so you can see what it is. Some of you will say, oh, that's so boring and just another sermon, you know, just like if I went to a church. I think I'll just go somewhere else. I'll turn the knob somewhere or push the electronic button or go to some other website, you know, whatever you're on. I already know that, or I've heard that, or I've heard enough of that. I don't want preaching. I feel sorry for you if that's the way you are, but I hope you'll bear with me. I think you'll get something out of it. Here's the question that I want to propose to you and the title of today's message. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And we will be examining and answering this question. And by the way, it's a question put forth by Jesus Christ himself. Must have been important to know the answer. He asked his disciples that question. Who do you say that I am? We're going to be looking at the birth and life of Jesus Christ and its meaning, which is colossal for you, me, and all humanity. The birth and life of Jesus Christ and its meaning for you, me, and all humanity. Now, I could have also talked about the birth and life and death and resurrection. We know Jesus died on the cross, but he was resurrected and lives forevermore. And we can talk about that, and I think it's of ultimate importance, because Krishna and Buddha and all the other gods, Osiris and such, none of them really were resurrected and had witnesses to that. A lot of legends and myths, but there were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His tomb was empty. And I suppose the Jews today, if they could ever find somehow archaeologically the dead body of Jesus Christ, they would love it. Then they could announce to the world, he never rose. The Muslims say Jesus never rose too. That his resurrection was faked by Christians. You know, who do you say that I am? If you don't know who Jesus is, you're in big, big trouble. And I found that many people who say they're Christians do not know who Jesus is. So they're not Christians. They're confused. They're mixed up. Maybe they're sincere, though, and that's why God has me to preach this message today. Maybe you're listening to this because you need help. You may not even recognize you need help. Your denomination, your church, your pastor, or your misreading and confusion from reading the Bible has led you astray. Now I have found when I look at all the false cults, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the one that Oprah Winfrey has been very involved in, you know, A Course in Miracles it's called, I find the same thing. They simply don't know who Jesus is. This Jewish guy, Bernie Lazar, started a group. He called himself Tony Alamo, or Alamo, take your pick. A lot of people glammed onto the guy, and he had a big ministry going because he was against the Catholic Church, and he was a Jew who had been saved and became a Christian. But I knew right away the guy was a fake because I read his material, and I could see that he didn't know who Jesus was. He said he believed in Jesus, but he didn't know who Jesus was, really. He didn't know the gospel. He didn't know the Bible. Everybody would write to his text, why don't you have Tony Alamo on your radio program? He's a great guy. He's a great Christian. He's really fighting in the Catholic Church. Well, I knew he was a fake. And in due time, he was exposed for having sex with underage girls and incredible other horrible things. And now he's in prison. Some people say, well, Texas Mormonism is a faith just like, you know, other Christians are, because it's just that they have another Bible. Another new, you know, like a second New Testament. Well, indeed they do. Well, Tex, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus. I know I had two witnesses come by my house and they told me all about Jesus. And it was the same Jesus that I know. Well, then fine. Go on to the Jehovah's Witnesses Kingdom Hall. By the way, have you ever noticed they don't have windows in Kingdom Halls? Don't have windows. Can't see out. Well, they can't see in either, my friends, because they don't know the gospel. They don't know Jesus. They say that he's the Archangel Michael. All these strange thoughts come around. In fact, it's been several years now, but you might want to order the audio tape or CD that we have entitled 1001 Other Jesuses. I'm not sure we even have that tape anymore. Maybe we should. 1001 Other Jesuses. They're everywhere. Well, today we're going to talk about the real Jesus, and we're going to answer the question, I hope, the right way. If Jesus were to come into your living room and talk to you today, what would your answer be if he said, who do you say that I am? Well, we start off with that exact question. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, starting with verse 13. Jesus, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Ah, yes, my dear friends, this is a question that every person must answer prior to going to the throne of God and being judged. And your answer will reveal where you're headed, for eternal life or eternal destruction. Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So we know then that Jesus, by his very testimony, is Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, is there more that we can find out about him and discover about him? I want to assure you, my friends, I have a whole list of descriptions of Jesus. I find in the scriptures, he's not only the Son of God, but did you know he's King of the Jews? Oh, yes. John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, said, Jews don't need Jesus. He never claimed to be King of the Jews. My friends, there's no nation on this earth. There's not one corner, there's not one square millimeter of this planet that Jesus is not Lord of. And the Jews are not exempt from the power and authority and title of king, which they will find out to their dismay unless they repent. But Jesus is a healer. By the way, he's king not only of the Jews, but of every Gentile nation, and he's king of the living. You say, well, of course that would be true. But he's not king of the dead. Ah, I hope I get to that part of this, because that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Jesus is king of the living, but not the dead. He's got authority over the dead, but he doesn't concern himself with the dead, except to offer them life. But if they reject it, then they have their own king. But we'll talk about that. Jesus is prophet, the greatest prophet who ever lived. Jesus is Savior. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to him to be baptized, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God. The one sacrificed, you see, the Lamb to be sacrificed. That taketh away the sins of the world. That means he was a Savior. He came to save the world. Jesus is the one who sits upon the throne. He is the Word of God. He is a well, the well of living water. He is the Lord of the resurrection. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He's the keeper of God's doctrines. He's the father of freedom and liberty. He's judge. And he's creator. You go back to Genesis, it tells us that God created the earth. The whole universe, in fact. God. Now, I had a man who argued with me several years back, and he says, "Tex, I thought I heard you say in your sermon that Jesus created the earth. That was before Jesus was ever born." I said, "Is that right?" He's, "Oh yes, it was God that created the earth and everything in it and all the heavens." I said, "Well, Jesus is one with the Father. He's God." "No, but you know, he was born into the world. You know, that's, have you ever read the Gospel of Matthew, Tex? It says he came into the world as Emmanuel, God in the flesh, but before he was ever born, God had created the world." Well, there again, we have confusion, you see. Now, let's just go to the book of Colossians. You know, the word in Latin there is very interesting. This was written to the people of Colossae, or Colossae, O-E, C-O-L-O-S-S-O-E. You may pronounce it a little different than me. I have Texas accent to my Latin, I suppose, but I know how to spell it. But Paul just called them the citizens of Colossae, or Colossae, whichever one you want to pronounce it. But the Latin word produces the word colossal, meaning gigantic, incredibly large, incredibly huge. And then I think it's sort of appropriate that in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the colossal ones, he said this. Listen to this. This is chapter 1, starting with verse 11. He's talking about the people there who are Christians, who have come to know and love Jesus. He talks about them. Wouldn't you love to hear the Apostle Paul talking about you? I would. And he says this, these wonderful things with you, about you. He says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Right away we see he's king. He has a kingdom. He has a kingdom somewhere, doesn't he? "And if you know Jesus as Lord, you have been translated." That means you've been made a citizen. You sort of like you've been naturalized or spiritualized. It really is. "You have this inheritance. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. And now you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14 says, "In whom," now that's the dear Son who has a kingdom, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's a redeemer, isn't he? He has the power to forgive sins. Verse 15 says, who, still talking about now, the dear Son of God, who has this kingdom of God, and he's translated you into it if you know him, and you have been delivered from darkness, and you have been redeemed. And it says, who, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit. Now Jesus is his very image. For by him, that's Jesus now we're still talking about, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus was there before all things, or you might say anything existed. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, how many things? All things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus is the very fullness. Elsewhere the Bible says that Jesus is the entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost bodily. In him is the entire Godhead. Some people can't understand that. It's no wait text. But it says in 1 John that there are three that bear witness in heaven, and these three are one. How can three be one? I always go back, you know, to the old, I remember when I was a kid, my mother had this old sewing machine. It was the kind you'd have to sit there and move your feet, you know, and it'd go, you know, that, I don't know what you'd call it down there. Not really a pedal, but it was a great big old pedal. And, you know, the old Singer sewing machines, that's the only kind I knew. You know, and they weren't electric, you know, they was, you have to do it with your feet and they would move, you know, and okay, I'm not much of a sewer, so forgive me for not being, you know, extremely knowledgeable about all that. But I remember that every once in a while my mother would have put a little oil in it. And the oil was called 3-in-1. And I always wondered, like, so I took the little can and I put a little oil out while my mother wasn't around. And I thought I'd see three different kinds of oil, but they all looked like one. They'd all sort of coalesce together, you might say. 3-in-1. That was always a mystery to me about that 3-in-1 oil. Well, it seems that the verse in John, for there are three, but they're one, is a mystery to many people. And so they want to deny one part of it or another of that formula. See, God is a great mathematician, though, friends. There are three that bear record and... don't ever forget the band. These three are one. Some people say, yeah, there's three. Other people say there's one, but they don't seem to come together. The person that says there's one says, no, there's not three. And the person that says there's three says, and they're not one. That's where you go wrong. You see, a lot of people just can't quite get it in their heads. They look at things from a manly standpoint. Now, science has a lot to say about the world, but it's continually proven wrong. I just read in the paper today, the newspaper and online, the startling news that scientists have given up predicting hurricanes. I'm not kidding you. Weather scientists say we have given up predicting hurricanes. Our predictions never come true, and really we don't have the science to predict them. I remember after Hurricane Rita and the big one that hit down here and, you know, down on the coast of Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, Mississippi and Alabama and so forth. Scientists, weather scientists says because of global warming, we're going to have worse hurricanes than this. Next year we'll have 5 or 6. Did you know the next year there were 0? And the next year they said global warming is going to cause, we'll have at least 3 or 4. Well, we didn't have any again. Then the next year, I think we only had like one or two, and they were small. Now we see, you know, scientists saying, well, we were wrong. We were always wrong. Now, of course, they're having to admit that we're going into a period, or been going into a period for about 11 years now, of global cooling. Now they're all looking like a bunch of blithering idiots, which they deserve to look like. They should have all said before, this is a guess. But no, they said, we're scientists, and if you don't believe us, you're the one crazy. Well, now they're the ones nuts. Some people say, Tex, if you say there are three and they're one, that defies science. Oh, really? Well, I hate to defy science. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed to defy the scientist. But I love Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I accept this on faith. If you say to me, can you explain it scientifically? Well, maybe I can, maybe I can't. But it doesn't matter. I accept it on faith. I mean, can you imagine how much scientific knowledge man must possess compared to God? I don't think it's 1%. I don't think it's not even 1/1,000,000 of 1%, surely. And I just made up that number. See how imprecise and uncertain I am. God, the great scientist, God, the great mathematician. You can't keep up with God. Think about that. For by him were all things created. He created Adam and Eve. He created this earth. Jesus did. Well, it says in Revelation, he announces, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was already in the mind of God that he would be slain before the world was ever founded. Now, let me tell you something else just knocked your head off. Or it should. It's so shocking. He says that he's already chosen you. If you're of God, he has chosen you from the foundation of the world. Before your mom and dad were born, before your grandparents or great-grandparents or some first woman on earth, according to the, you know, scientist named Lucy or whatever they call her. They're so dumb. But before the foundation of the world, you already were chosen for glory. And guess what? Those who creep into the church and try to destroy the church from within are have been foreordained for that condemnation. Judas came into this world for one purpose, to go to hell. I said, boy, that's pretty cruel, Tex. Hey, don't tell me what's cruel or what's not. Tell God. But you're wasting your time. It's not cruel at all. God determined it. He was foreordained for that condemnation. Jesus said it would be better if he were never born. A lot of people like that. I think our prisons are full of a lot of them. It would be better if these psychopaths who harm children, who are serial killers, it would be better if they were never born. Say, Tex, that's so cruel. You're just not a positive thinker. You got that right. But I have faith that God knows what he's doing, and he chose these people for that very purpose. You say, does that mean they can't be saved? No one ever said that. But they have a lot of redemption that they need, and they have repentance that they need. And they need sincere repentance. And then God, he works with that. And I might not think that they should be saved and go to heaven. You see, I'm a human being. And the Ted Bundys of this world, the Jeffrey Dahmers, I must admit, I am a cruel person, I suppose, because I would prefer that they not go to heaven. I would like them to go to hell for what they've done. I was watching television the other night, and there was this little 7-year-old girl that had been killed and her battered body was found in Florida. thrown into a, ditched into a swamp. And all I could think of was if I could just get my hands on that murderer of that little girl. If I could, I'd do horrible things to him. I don't know, maybe I should repent of that human desire. But even Jesus said it would be better that a millstone be hung around the neck of a man who harms a little child. Maybe I'm right in touch with God on that one. And yet God said he wishes, or it's his desire that no man perish. I've got to go along with that too. Whatever God wants, he is the potter. He makes the pot the way he wants to. He forms it. You know, he's the one. Okay, Lord, you know better than me. And I have faith that he does. I sure would not want to be manager of this world and decider of the fate of every person, the destiny of every man and every woman, every child. I'm not intelligent enough to handle that kind of responsibility. Okay. Isn't that wonderful in Colossians? He's the creator. He was with God from the beginning. In fact, let's just go to John. Matthew and John, those are such powerful. Wow. You know, a lot of people ask me, is there a book I can learn about Satanism? I want to fight the Satanist in this world. I would like to know, is there a book somewhere that's been written that'll tell me all about Satanism? I said, oh, yes, indeed. That would be the New Testament. Not too long ago, I heard somebody was recommending people in the Christian church now buy Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible and read it if they wanted to find out about Satanism. Well, how evil is that? I don't want anybody to read Anton LaVey's horrible book, The Satanic Bible. I want you to read the Gospels. I want you to read Matthew and John. You'll find out how to handle Satan. You'll find out how many times Jesus cast devils out of people and had the authority and the power. And he has given unto you, if you're part of his kingdom, he has given you the keys of the kingdom so that you may deliver people through him, not of your own power. That's right. There's the answer to Satan. Through Jesus, he has no power over you. Some say, Tex, aren't you afraid of fighting the devil and fighting all these secret societies and all these things? Look at all the bad things they can do to you. They can't do anything to me. The scriptures tell us, don't fear he who can throw you in prison and kill the body. Fear him who can throw you into hell and kill the spirit. You better fear God. He's the only one who has the right to decide your destiny. What's going to happen to you? Not only in the world to come, but this one right now, God, Jesus Christ, who is one with God, is the only one who is the judge, who can decide. And he will decide. It says in Hebrews that we have a destiny, every one of us. We have one life. After that comes the judgment. One life. You can't keep working till you get it right, friends. You better know who your Lord is right now. You better be able to ask the question, who do you say that I am? When Jesus asks it of you. Okay, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to see a lot more. Did you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses has rewritten the Bible? Or parts of it. And it'll confuse you about the Word of God. We'll talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses' so-called gospel and many more things. And I'll give you some good news when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars. We're discussing, examining the birth and life of Jesus Christ and what it means for you and me and all of humanity. Stay with us, won't you? Tex Mars back with you again. You know, I just want to thank you at this time as we head into the new year. I want to thank you so much for your
your blessings you've given this ministry. Many of you I know have given sacrificially. A lot of you out of work, a lot on Social Security, and you're suffering. And yet you somehow, you know, sacrificially you're giving to this ministry. I know we had the Children's Orphanage Project again this year, and we actually received more than last year for the kids. And every cent of it went to the kids. And if you gave to that project, oh my goodness gracious, I know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is going to greatly bless you. He's going to, what colossal, as we're talking about colossal today, what colossal blessings he's going to get. I don't know what he's going to do, but they're going to be good. We had Employees Appreciation Month, and we were able to help our employees. You know, they don't have a medical program. They don't have a retirement program. We don't have the money to do those things. But thanks to your gifts, well, you know, they have more than they would have had otherwise. And you bless them. And they really do appreciate it. So many of our, all of our workers here are so thankful to you for your help in these things. And I know that a lot of you, you know, you send $5 and $10 and you say, well, this is, some of you even say, well, why send $5? That's not even going to be a drop in the bucket. You're wrong. We don't have a lot of big givers here. We don't have, you know, people giving $1 million or $100,000. The people that give $1,000, I mean, I can almost count on fingers of my two hands. I mean, $1,000 a year, not even that much. And our bills keep going up. The postal services keep raising their rates, and the electrical people, the utilities and all that keeps going up. Everything keeps going up. I know Obama says it's not, but it does. You know that. Have you been to the food store? And prices have skyrocketed. We all know that. Prices for everything go up, don't they? I was going by the gas station today, and I looked up and I said, look at that, Wanda. It's $3.35 or something a gallon. Wow. They claim that Europe is going into another big recession. China's beginning to crash. And America still has an incredible number of people unemployed, and yet they keep the price of oil up to about $100 a barrel. Should be going down. But it's artificially raised by the crooks and the scammers, isn't it? We know that. And yet, you give what you can. And yes, your $5 means a lot to us. Your $10, $50, $100, whatever you can give means a lot to us. And I think God recognizes that. And I believe he will bless you. I'm not much of a prosperity preacher, meaning I don't think God keeps records and says, okay, you say you gave Power Prophecy Ministries $1, I'll give you back $100. No, that's not the way it works. But somehow or another, God keeps us all in shelter. He somehow keeps food in our mouth. Maybe it's not the best food of the kind we would like, but somehow we're still here. That's God, isn't it? And we work for God. A lot of people say, Tex, who do you report to? They get mad at me. You know, what church do you come to the authority of? Are you part of a denomination? We're going to report you to the big bishop. Well, you can report me to my big bishop. His name is Jesus. And if he listens to you, that's fine. If he's dissatisfied with me, though, I think he knows how to take care of me without your help. Jesus has put me on the right road a lot of times. So if you think you can talk to Jesus about me and get me straightened out, I sort of like that. I would. Don't hesitate. Do it today. Anyway, we're not offering anything today. We're not selling you a product or a book or a video today. Certainly, I think you should look into my new video, Die America, Die. Wow, that's a shocker. Die America, Die. But I want to thank you for listening to the program. That's the main thing today. And thank you for giving all year long to this ministry. Thank you. May God richly bless you in exactly the way that he knows you need it. Did you hear what I just said? I don't know if you need a better job or you need more pay or some payments coming up and you don't even have the finances to take care of it. Maybe you've got problems with your kids. They're discipline problems. Maybe you've been sick. You've been ill. You might have cancer. You might have diabetes. You're just not well. I know how you feel in a lot of those things. I haven't been well myself lately. But I'll tell you something. God can take care of it. God is the healer. Jesus is the bread of this world. He is the healer. And have faith in him. And I'm Tex Mars telling you that I believe in you. And I believe most of all in God. You know, that's a winning combination. You, me, and God. What do you think? I'd like to hear from you on that. I once had a young man, a good friend of mine, Jerry Shirley. He went on to become a pastor. And I had just got a new Bible. And I said, hey, Jerry, why don't you sign it? You know, I know you're not the author of the Bible, but sign it inside, you know. Give me a little message here of inspiration. Because I believe Jerry Shirley. I believe he truly was a young Christian man. We were both only 18 years of age. He wrote down something that shocked me. It said, I'm not sure it was completely correct, but maybe it was. It said, no one has ever seen what one person fully committed to God can do. Wow. No one has ever seen what just one person committed to God can do. And you know, I thought, I'd love to be that one person. I was only 18, but I said, I'd love to be that one person. I have to tell you, I have failed in many things in my life, but I'd still like to be that one person. Let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about the one that makes this ministry possible and makes eternal life the real deal. Jesus Christ. You know, John chapter 1 is an amazing passage of scripture. And all of these false cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses have had to change the words of this passage because it's troublesome to them. Let's read what it says. It says, and we start off with chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ah, yes. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, no wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we see why, yes, he is the life. He is the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness cannot understand light. It cannot comprehend light. Wow. Verse 11, let's skip to verse 11. Well, let's go to verse 10. I like it. You know, God repeats himself. He does. He's redundant. That's not a criticism. In fact, he does it on purpose. My good friend, Dr. Gail Ripplinger, wrote a little book, and I think it's called The Language of the King James Bible. Great book. She said God is redundant. He says things twice. I think he's a great teacher. You know, I have a master's degree in education, and I was taught, and through my Air Force training and education as an Air Force officer, I taught myself that you should reinforce learning. Reinforce it. Repeat yourself. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, talking of Jesus now, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own. That would be the unredeemed Jews who rejected him, and his own received him not. But, I like that word, but, a lot. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His own received him not. The Jews rejected him. They called him a blasphemer. They cried out, crucify him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you realize what it's saying there? Without God's help, your will isn't strong enough. A lot of people say, well, I have my own free will. I can reach out to God. Well, do it. That's wonderful. But unless God reaches out to you, it's a waste of time. See, that's the beauty of it. God reaches out to you. He accepts you. He knocks on the door first. You don't answer the door when nobody's there. They'll think you're insane, won't they? He knocks on the door. And it's up to you to open it, maybe. But he's there. In due time, if you never open the door and he keeps knocking, he'll go somewhere else, won't he? Sometime God comes and knocks on the door, and that's the acceptable time. You can't blame God if he exhausts himself with knocking and beseeching and crying out to you and you keep rejecting him. Why should he knock forever? He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. But should I say it? Should I dare say it? You're a fool. Because you don't open the door. Your flesh cannot will your salvation. It doesn't matter about your blood. Well, I'm a Jew. I'm a whatever. Well, good for you. Go tell it to the devil. He has a lot of Jews down there with him in hell. If you say, well, my father and brother were royal blood. My name is Pippa Middleton or whatever name is. I just married, you know, Prince Andrew or what. Well, good for you. God, the devil has a lot of princes and kings and noblemen down in hell with him. So it's not blood that'll get you there. Not your will that'll get you there. God. Verse 14 is very powerful. The Word, remember the one who was with God from the beginning and was God and created everything? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No turning of darkness in Jesus. Full. Remember? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. That's John the Baptist now. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, Moses was our Savior. He gave us the law, says the Jew. He taught us the path to salvation through the law. Yeah. The devil has a lot of people that believed in the law who rejected Jesus. See, you have to understand that Jesus brought the doctrines of God with him. When you reject Jesus, you reject those doctrines of God. And as for the boast that we have the law of Moses, Jesus said there is no man, no, not one, who has ever completely followed the law of Moses. Going back to the word colossal, every Jew is a colossal failure. For by the law can no man be saved. For no man can follow all the commandments. and do them correctly. So Jesus came, died on the cross for your sin, and made it possible for you to live. Because grace and truth, grace is the love of God. Grace is, that's part of that forgiveness, love, forgiveness. That makes it possible for you to be saved. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. By the way, we also find out that Jesus is called in Matthew chapter 1. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. The very name Jesus means the one who saves. That's Jesus. And he's also given another name, which is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he came in the flesh as God. Did you know that the New Testament tells us that if we do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh as God, we are not of him. That's how you can know a false spirit. Does the Spirit declare that Jesus came in the flesh as God? He can say, oh, well, Jesus came, but he really wasn't God in the flesh. That's what the Mormons and all the others say. Well, they're not saved. They have a false Christ. There is another Jesus and another gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Another Jesus. Friends, you better make sure you have trusted in the real Jesus, the one who created the earth, the one who is the Word of God. You know, in the parable of the seed, Jesus talked about the seed of God. Now, the Jews would have thought that's the seed of Abraham. We're that physical seed. We're that blood. Oh, yeah, that's the seed. But the disciples were confused about it, and they came up to Jesus, and they said, Lord, would you tell us the mystery of the seed? We don't understand that. Jesus says, well, it is given to you to know the mystery. But those outside the kingdom, it is not for them to know this. Isn't that interesting? Friends, do you know the mystery of the seed? Jesus explained it to his disciples. But he went on to say, if you don't know, if you cannot understand this parable, you will not understand any parable that I teach. But if you do understand it, your sins will be forgiven you and you'll be converted. Wow. Converted to the truth through grace and love. And then Jesus went forth to explain the seed to them. You know what his first statement was? The seed is the word of God. If a man is chosen by God and is one of the heirs of the kingdom, that seed is planted in him and it grows. Think about that. The seed is the word of God that's planted in a man. That's why Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the hope of glory? It's Christ in you. I want you to think about that, my friends. Because there are many pastors out there, many televangelists, many books that would explain it to you is this way. The seed is the money that you give. And God will reward you for giving money by giving you more money back. You give this ministry $1,000 and God will give you $10,000. It's an investment. You can't beat that. You can't get that on the stock market, they'll tell you. You can't get it by buying gold or silver. Send it to me, the seed, your seed faith money. Now, when they tell you that, you know they're from the bowels of hell. fact, Jesus says in the New Testament, he says, it's the love of money, it's the cares of this world that will choke out the seed. The seed can't get started. You ever planted a seed, friends? You plant it on rocky soil, that's no good. You plant it and don't put enough dirt and fertilizer in it, and the sun comes and burns it up. Or you plant it, and Jesus said, the bird will come and get it. And thanks for the seed. He eats it, and he goes out with a drought. But if it's firmly planted in a man's heart, and it's the word of God, it will grow. And Jesus said it will be like a light on a shining hill. Everybody will see that seed as it's growing and becomes a great, great tree. Like the mustard seed. It's so interesting to me that Jesus clearly says the seed is the word of God, and he is that word. You have Jesus within you. That's the seed. Now, I'm not saying don't give money and help. We need your tithes and offerings right here at Power of Prophecy. But they're not the seed of God. Jesus is the seed of God. And let me say something that's going to shock you a little bit. Did you know that if you read John 14 and John 17, you find something amazing? I don't have time to talk about it today in depth. I will someday because it was so powerful. John 14 and verse 17 says that Jesus in you and you are in him and he is one with the Father. So therefore, Jesus is all in all. I'm sort of paraphrasing it, but think about that. If you have Christ within you, remember that he is one with the Father, for those three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are one. Then you are one with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I had a man come up to me and said, well, I have Jesus in my heart, but I don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Then you don't have Jesus. Well, I speak in tongues, for I have that. No, you don't have Jesus. You got it confused. Now, again, I'm going to preach on that someday, obviously. Because Jesus is all. He is all in all. If you have Jesus, you have everything, my friends. And you have eternal life. And you have grace and truth. There is nothing greater than that. That's good news, isn't it? Now, we'll continue on here. What should we look at next? There's so much here. You know, a lot of people talk about freedom today. What about freedom? Well, let's go to John chapter 8. Well, let's say John chapter 8, verse 30. Now, there's some interesting verses for you about freedom. This is one of the catchphrases, you might say, for our ministry. We love this. We have it written on a plaque, and it's on our front. Every day when we go out the front door, we read this on the wall there. It's written on the wall. If you came to visit our ministry, you'll know what I'm saying. Let's see. He was speaking to the Jews, and it says here in John 8, verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now, only a few believed in him. Only the remnant believed in him. He said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There are a lot of people who say, I believe in Jesus, but they don't live in his word. They don't continue in his word. They're not even interested in the doctrines of Jesus. In fact, I've heard many people say, let's not get all bent out of shape over doctrines. Let's just all come together because we all love Jesus. You don't love Jesus. Shut up. You love yourself. Anybody who continues in Jesus will love his words, his doctrines, because they came from the Father. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then listen to the next verse, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Think about that. Elsewhere in the Bible it says, in Christ Jesus there is liberty. Have you heard of the political party called the Libertarians? Most of them don't even believe in Jesus. They believe that man should be allowed to do whatever he wants to do. They're Satanist. They don't know it, but that's the satanic doctrine. The will of man is supreme. Ayn Rand taught that. She was a libertarian. Maybe she claimed to be the first of the libertarian philosophy. They believe in liberty. No, they don't, because they're in bondage to hell. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said. Now, the Jews answered him, the ones that were not believers in him. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Ah, yes, we come back to the seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? We're never in bondage. We've never been in bondage. Well, first of all, they were lying there historically. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage in Babylon. They're just filthy, dirty liars. We've never been in bondage to any man. What do you mean you can make us free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Wow. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to the devil. They're in bondage to hell. But Jesus, and only Jesus, can set them free. Verse 36 is interesting. It says, if the Son, that's Jesus speaking, if the Son of God, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, Jesus says. He's talking about the physical seed. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Abraham is our father, they claimed. And Jesus says, no, your father is the devil. If God were your father, you would love me. Every man that says, I know the truth, he's a liar unless he believes in Jesus Christ. He's in bondage. He's in bondage to sin. Did you know that people are in bondage and they think they're free? Some women say, I've been liberated. I can go out and have sex with whoever I want. No, you're in bondage. You got a miserable lifestyle. And the worst kind of bondage is when you don't even know it. And that leads me to the conclusion of today's message. Who do you say that I am? As we have examined the birth and life of Jesus Christ and its meaning for you, me, and for all of humanity, I take you finally to Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake. Awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This is Tex Mars. Been great to be with you today, preaching the glorious message of the kingdom of God and the reality of he who created all things and deserves our worship, our love, our obedience, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.